Hallelujah. Let's just thank God. Thank God that you're alive. You know, thank God. Think about the time you've been in great risk or great harm, and God pulled you through. Think about the time you were down or sick, or when maybe business was not good, or everything was upside down. And you can look back, those were years back, and here you are. Just thank him. Think about a situation you've gone through recently or near recently that you thought that it might have no solution. And now God is solving it. Give him thanks. He's worthy. Just thank him. Just thank God. Thank God. He is the one that makes us to breathe. I am what I am by the grace of God. It's not by might and it's not by power. It's by the Spirit of the living God. So give thanks, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks. That's the first step to contentment. Thanksgiving. Give thanks. Father, we thank you. Thank you. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits. He's the one that forgives all your sins. He's the one that heals all your diseases. He's the one that redeems your life from destruction. He's the one that crowns you with loving kindness and with tender mercies. He's the one that satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And so, Father, we thank you for another opportunity to listen to your word. Pray to God and say, Father, teach me something new today. I know many of the Bible verses you read them before. But pray, say, Father, open my eyes to the truth in your word. Because it is the truth that sets us free. Lies cannot set you free. Opinion of people cannot set you free. Culture cannot set you free. Government cannot set you free. It's the truth that sets you free from the inside. And say, Father, open my understanding today. Bible says that Jesus breathed upon them and Jesus opened their understanding and they were able to understand. Open my understanding and give me understanding, revelation to your word. And I say, you know, pray and say, Father, I humble myself to receive your word. I humble myself. You say, except you receive the kingdom like a child. I humble myself to receive your word like a child so that I can trust and obey. That's what God wants from you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For in Jesus' name, we are prayed. And the church said again,
amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is good.
All
the time, the Lord is good. Open your Bible to the book of 1 Peter. Today, we are talking about inner beauty. Can we say that together? Again, inner beauty. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm always excited to bring you the word of God. Because, you know, when I bring the word of God and I bring a topic to you, it's because I have a revelation. I have an instruction from God. And I'm excited because I know every part of the word can set us free. Every part. Every part of God's word can set us what? Free. Psalm 19 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. 1 Peter 3, and let's read verse 1 to 7. I know Sister Frida read it earlier on. And in order to complete the match, because he is a celebrant, we're going to give the second reading of this same place to Brother Timothy. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. Please read, follow in your own Bible.
Okay. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, or wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered.
Amen. Amen. Just read verse 7 again. Thank you, Brother Tim. Thank you very much. That was from King James Version. I read verse 7 again from New Living. He said, in the same way, you husbands, you must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are. And someone has asked me, what does that mean? Well, she may be physically weaker in general, on average. You know, she may be shorter than you in general, on average. It's not all cases. She may be emotionally, you know, more emotional. But Bible says that she is your equal partner. That's in the spirit. There is no gender. In the spirit, there's no word gender. Gender is in the body. But in the spirit, there's no word gender. We are equal partners in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so that your prayers will not be in that. Now, that's a diversion. I just emphasize that to balance the equation. That's not where I'm going. Where I want to concentrate on is verse 3 and verse 4. So I will read it again and I'll ask my first question. Now, this doesn't apply just to women. It applies to us all. So let's concentrate and as I read it, begin to think about yourself. I'll ask that question. He said, don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourself instead with the beauty that comes from within. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. The question I have is this. What is the difference between outward beauty and inner beauty? Let's start with Brother Tim. So what's the difference between external beauty and internal beauty? What's the difference between outward beauty and inward beauty? Yes, you can pass if you want, but I thought I should give you the first go.
The outward beauty has to do with the physical appearance, which we can all see the way, maybe the makeup, the way the dress. I mean, just seeing somebody and a physical appearance. So that, yes. So, man, the chain, the garments, and So,
And inward?
The inward beauty will have to do with the character of that person.
The character.
The holiness, the kindness, that's actually the real beauty, if
okay.
I may say.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's a very good answer. Let's try our youth. Youth, so any one of you, what is the difference between outward beauty and inner beauty? Or is there any such thing called inner beauty? Okay. Yes. Yes, you have it, Agnes, and decide what you want to do with it. Okay, you can have it or pass it. Right? What's the difference? Well, compare and contrast. And I'll have two more answers before we move on. Compare and contrast. Outward beauty and inner beauty. And which is more important to you personally?
If you have outward beauty, you might not necessarily be a nice person. But
you may be pretty.
Yeah.
Pretty woman. All right. I like that. Let's just stop there. That's a good, cool answer. It's cool. It's not just good. It's cool. Right? All right? Yes, let's go to this side. What's the difference between outward and inner or inward beauty?
Well, one you can see, obviously. You can see it looks pretty. But the other one is very, very hidden, isn't it? So unless you actually get to know the person, you're not always going to see that inner beauty from people until you give them a chance.
When you get to know them.
The one's obvious, one's completely hidden until you actually give that person a chance.
And I have seen someone who is itching. Okay, I'll take two more answers. Yeah? Outward, thank you. Thank you, sister. Outward and inward beauty, compare and contrast.
I think outward beauty would fade with time and for the things we need to...
No, you hit a good point. They say outward beauty will not me. Is it will or may?
Will.
Will feed with time. Now, if you doubt that, send a reporter to Hollywood. All right, go on.
And even when you want to keep it up, you need to spend a lot to, and it would definitely feed, whereas inward beauty endures.
Okay, inward beauty endures. Let me just give you a little warning here. Thank you, Stanike. And what I'll take you, just a little warning and say, it's not all that you see that is real on TV. You know, you have this advice, say, as seen on TV. It's a lie. There are people you see on TV, well, what has gone into that appearance? Oh, this lady is 55, but she's looking so young. Okay, finally, last but never least, what outward and inner beauty, compare and contrast.
Apart from what I was going to say initially, you know, outward beauty fading with time, I think the other difference as well is that with inner beauty, you can possibly impact people around you, people that come, you know, in contact with you. Whereas with outward beauty, all people can see is that, oh, maybe she's pretty, she's handsome, and that's it. How does it really affect them? Amen. I can't really say.
Thank you so much. You know, and the goal of questioning always, when we like to preach or teach like this, is to get us thinking, engage our minds. I don't want to just come to church and listen to a sermon. I want your mind to be engaged so that you can understand what God is passing across to you. So, thank you. All the answers are good. You know, what was the cool answer again? Outward beauty is what? What was the cool answer? Yes, people may be pretty. And okay, let me tell you my position before I break it down. And I say, nowadays, I find it very difficult to see somebody on the street and say that lady is beautiful. I just can't use that word. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter how pretty they are. The best I can say is pretty woman. I mean, most of the prettiness actually is from neck up, isn't it? Because until you know who people really are. Someone may look very pretty or very handsome. There are some handsome devils. Yeah. And there are some pretty, what? Pretty Jezebels. Yeah. There's such a thing called the Jezebel spirit. And you have to be very careful in the church not to allow the Jezebel spirit. Amen. Now, that's outward. Outward is physical, what people can see. Inner can also be seen, but it's not publicized on the road. Outward is what can be seen on the streets, in the public. But inward is what that person really is inside. It always baffles me one thing with politics, yeah? Or with even celebrities that, you know, the other day we had news about a Welsh politician who was accused of allegations of a sexual nature of, you know, sexual misconduct towards people. We don't know the degree of that. And after some time, some days, I don't think it probably is weeks, he went home and he killed himself. Now, the question I'm asking myself in this case is this. Why did he kill himself? Did he kill himself because the allegations were not true? Or did he kill himself because he could not undo the fear of discovery? Now, what I'm trying to say is that just that comparison between outward and inward beauty. Your reputation, yeah, is what people think about you in the public. That's not what's most important. I know I've seen people work hard for their reputation. And people would also die to protect their reputation. If I kill myself, that's the end of the story. But what you really are in private when no one is watching, what you will do when the cameras are not on you, what you will do in your home between you and your spouse or your children, yeah, is your character. And outward beauty pursues reputation. Inner beauty pursues what? The character, the development of character. You may project a reputation and people say, oh, I love that sister. She's the most spiritual sister. Sorry, I mean sister. In Ealing's Church. But at home, or at work, she's what? Nasty. Okay, let's change it to brothers too. It's all right, I love that brother. He knows the Bible so much. But at home, he never even teaches his children Bible. Yeah? He swears and curses. Hallelujah. So just to move on and to break it down, this is what I want to show you the difference between outward and inward beauty. In particular, I'm concerned about, you know, character. So let's analyze our character one after the other as we go through this list. It's not a question I need answers for. I want you to check yourself out and check your inner beauty. Please turn to your neighbor. Tell them, say, check your inner beauty. Now I'm going to permit me to debate. I know you have some nice jewelry on, but check your inner beauty. I know you just made your hairstyle yesterday. Yeah? You just cut your hair. But check your what? Inner beauty. I know! Don't be angry with me. I know that clothes you're putting on. I know it costs a lot of money. Sorry I didn't notice, but I know. You know, sometimes I notice things, but I decide not to notice them because I don't want to put too much emphasis on outward beauty. I want to put more emphasis on inner beauty. So check your beauty now. So this is a beauty check. So look at the screen there. So the question is just to you. It's not to any other person. Don't think about any other person. Like Pastor Asdo said last week, just think about only yourself. What is your inner beauty? What describes your behavior? If people can talk about your behavior, what would they say? Would they say, oh, that person is proud? I'm not talking about people who see you on the streets. I'm talking about people who really know you. They know your behavior. Yeah? Is it pride or humility? Is it stubbornness? Stubbornness is not an asset. The Bible says stubbornness is like what? Idolatry. It's in the Bible. He said rebellion is like, no, stubbornness is like witchcraft. And rebellion is like idolatry. You know why? Let me explain. Because when you're very stubborn, you will seek to manipulate people to have your way at all cost. Check. This is not about any other person. I'm checking myself too. Is it stubbornness or yielding my behavior? You know, at home, at work, in private. Forget about public. Public is reputation. Is it disobedience or obedience? Is it selfishness or generosity? At Home Fellowship on Friday, we're talking about that. You know, the ability to forgive people and let go, forgive and forget, like they say, is part of generosity. Generosity is not just about money. Yeah? It's a generous thing when you say, you know, someone asks, you know, actually, you know, the Lord's Prayer in King James. You know what it says in King James Version? It says, forgive us our debts as we forgive those. So it's comparing forgiving people like money. So generosity is not just about money. When someone has wronged you, he hurt you bad, I know. But you choose to let go. That's generosity. You choose to be generous to let them go. Just like someone owed you money and you said, you know what? You've checked it, they can't pay back. Say, forget it. Yeah, you may not lend them money next time, but on this occasion, forget it. That's what? Generosity. What describes your behavior? Is it laziness? You know? You may, that's what I'm trying to say, that outwardly, when people are watching, you may look like the most diligent person. You know, they call it? Let me ask Audrey. Do you know what they call that? When people are watching, you are the most diligent and most, you know, active. What do they call? What type of service are you giving? Yes? Ophthalmology. It's called ophthalmology in medical terms. But in everyday terms, what you are giving a service. What do they call it? Hour service. Are you like that? And then when one is watching, immediately you enter back your mode. Okay? What is more important to you? As a test of outward inner beauty, what's more important to you? Your reputation or your character? You know? What's more important to you? Okay, sometimes you know you are something. Like I said about the Welsh politician. He knows whatever he did. And I'm not saying he did anything. I'm just saying that whatever he did, he knows. He's not having a problem with that. In fact, he may still do it again. But that's character. It doesn't bother him. That's his character. What he is in private. But what bothers him is that, oh, people will know that I did this. So ask yourself, what's more important to you? Is it your character? Who you truly are in the privacy of your home or in the privacy of your close circle or your reputation. Are you willing to let go of your reputation to preserve, to pursue character? Because sometimes when you're doing the right thing, lies may be spread about you. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a situation where people said things that are not true about you? Maybe in the workplace or something. Yeah? And sometimes, you know, what we all want is try to defend ourselves and say, no, it's not so. But does that bother you more about who you really are? If someone said that loud, that man is a liar. Yeah? And I'm actually a liar. What bothers me more? That people know that they called me a liar or that I'm a liar. Hallelujah. And if someone said I'm a liar and I'm saying the truth, does it satisfy me that that reputation should be smeared? But I know in my heart that what? I'm saying the truth. Knowing that ultimately the truth will prevail. Hallelujah. Okay, and finally, aggressiveness. Being aggressive is not an asset. Say, I'm feisty. It's not an asset. Yeah, it's not something you'll be proud about. I'm feisty. I'll show you. If you try me, I will what? Show you double pepe. Say, I love God, but don't try. Don't think because I love God, you can just come and try. I will show you what I am. So I ask and say, who are you? Hallelujah. Because, you know what? There's an old man. There was an old you. But if anyone is in Christ, what? He's a new creation. The reason why Jesus came into your life is to make sure that that old you is not, that old you is put in the dustbin. Hallelujah. So who you really are is not that feisty, aggressive person. That was your old man. Amen? Say that was my old man. But in Christ Jesus, I'm a new creation. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Okay. So I thought I should just establish that. Let's look into one more piece of scripture. As we continue to break that down. So 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Yes. Open to 1 John chapter 2. We're still looking at inner beauty. You know, God's desire for you is that you should grow spiritually and become everything that God has called you to be. You need to keep to recognize that you are not the old person you were. Yeah? I remember a song that said, I don't know, I'll sing it right now. He said, I think it was by one African singer, he said, the bad things I used to do, I do them no more. But Toby will help me. I think he remembers more because I'm not sure of the words now. Can you help me? Yeah?
There's been a great change since I met the Lord.
Let's go again.
Great change since I met the Lord. Great change since I met the Lord. The things I used to do, I do them no more. There's a great change since I met the Lord.
Hallelujah. Let me tell you how it happens. It happens by, you have to live by faith and walk in love. You see, that old man is there, but you refuse to identify with it. I know you see how the capacity, I know probably before you met Jesus, you can give them a dirty slap. You understand what I'm saying? Now, when you get born again, it doesn't mean that your hands have become weaker. you in your old man, you still have that capacity, but you refuse to identify with that old man because that old man has been crucified with Christ by faith. Hallelujah. Now the life I live, I don't live by my own power, but by faith. Hallelujah. So when I'm irritated, yeah, the old man comes up and says, give. But I say, you know what? No. I am going to yield to the Spirit. Hallelujah. Rather than reacting, I walk away. Hallelujah. Rather than keeping record, I forgive. Hallelujah. Forgiveness. Please, can you say to God, it says, forgiveness is an act of generosity. You see, sometimes you convince yourself and say, you know, I will forgive them when they deserve it. You don't deserve forgiveness from God. When God chose you and saved you, you didn't deserve it. You could not wake up and say you are wallowing in the mud of sin, but God forgave you. And you know what's about forgiveness? Till you leave this world, you will continue to need forgiveness because you will continue to make one mistake or the other. Hallelujah. So why will you not be generous? Don't wait till people deserve it. Just release it. And you know when you do that, it's like any other giving we do, like money giving too. God is the one that will reward you. Now tell me, someone say, but why should I forgive somebody when they've not even said sorry? It's much easier to forgive when people say sorry. And I tell you something, if you can say sorry at any time, please try your best to say what? Sorry. It's always better. Sorry is better sometimes than buying things for people. Just say sorry. It costs nothing. But Toby, I'm sorry for how I treated you yesterday. End of story. You don't need, it doesn't cost, it's free. But that's from the point of view of the person that offended. From the point of view that you were offended, even if they didn't say sorry, you can be generous. Hallelujah. It's like somebody who owed you, they can't pay back. But you say, you know what? Forget it. Now, when you do that, you are not doing it because of them. You are doing it because of Jesus. And when you do it because of Jesus, keep your mind on Jesus. He will reward you. You know one thing, I used to read this and I didn't understand it before. He said, nobody that gives a cup of water in my name. I've read it. I never got the revelation. You don't understand. Jesus said, there is no letter of this law, of this word that will pass away that without being fulfilled. He said, anybody who gives what, and this happened, you know, disciple came to him and said, Lord, we've been following you. You know, we've been serving you. What about us? What's our reward? He said, nobody. Now, guess what? A cup of water in my name. Now, if your friend comes to visit you, you give them a cup of water because they're your friend. It's nothing. It's you're just doing that for friendship's sake. Amen? But when you had no other reason to do it, you did not feel like doing it. Yeah? You are tired, you are broke, you are offended, you are angry, you are irritated, but you did it because of him. He said you will not go without your reward. And the Bible says that he said the just shall live by faith. There's no victory without faith. You must live by faith. You must step out of that comfort zone and do something in obedience to God's word because you trust him. Then, in due time, you will reap a bountiful reward. Say to yourself, say, my reward is coming. Therefore, I will not give up. All right, let's open one more place and I will round up there. First John. So I'm aiming to finish by 12:30, the sermon today. First John chapter 2. Yes? Verse 15 to 17. Yes? Anybody would like to help me read? First John 2, 15 to 17. Another time. First John 2. Yes, Brother Toby. First John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. Please, please, follow in your Bible. Even if you read it before, today God will show you something new.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world.
Mm-hmm.
If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Amen. Amen. Let's have that. Thank you, Brother Toby. Let's have that from New Living Translation. New Living Translation. Yes, let's go for the youth. They're always going to take preference. First John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, New Living Translation. Let's go.
Do not love the world.
Don't love the world.
Nor the things it offers you. For okay. When you love the world, you do not love the you do not have the love of the
When you love, you. Please pause there, my darling. When you love the world, sometimes when I read the Bible nowadays, thank God for the power of revelation. You just pause and say, was he joking? He said, when you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. It's just a mistake. It just dropped there by mistake. Continue.
For the world offers only a craving of physical pleasure.
Now look at what the world offers. A craving for physical pleasure, yes?
A craving for everything we see.
A craving for everything we see. Anybody like window shopping? Yes, and what?
And pride in our achievements and possessions.
And listen, this is the worst of it all, I tell you. I know. I've been there. Yeah, probably you've all been there. It's a pride in our what? Achievements. That means I can go to, I can study, get a degree, and begin to have pride in that achievement. And it can hinder the love of the Father. Yes, please go finish.
These are not from the Father, but from this world.
Yes.
And this world is fading away.
This world is what? Fading away. Please turn to your neighbor, tell them, say, if you forget anything. Please, don't forget that this world is fading away. I know you just acquired a new car. But it is what? Even before the world ends, the car will fade. Do you know? As time goes on, you're spending more and more on that baby. Hmm? But even if the car doesn't fade, the world is like what? It's fading away. It's not going to last forever. Hallelujah. Then finish.
Along with everything that people crave.
Along with everything that people crave, whether good or bad. Yes?
But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever.
Anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Amen. So I have 5 more minutes. Let me just break that down by asking this question, which is, what is the meaning of worldliness? I know, you talked about it, we read it. Because sometimes, you know, we just forget the word of God. And we just live our life based on the average opinion. As if the Bible is no longer alive. What is the meaning of worldliness? What does it mean for a Christian to be worldly? Or what does it mean to be worldly? Yes, let's have like 2-3 answers. And of course, I read the text, so I'm leaning on that text to ask that question. What is the true meaning of worldliness? Yes, can somebody help me? Yes. And there we go. Yeah, go on.
To love the world,
yes. Yes, but I tell her, what is the meaning of worldliness? Because obviously we're in this world. Imagine it's a dilemma. Yeah, it's a dilemma because we're in this world and God is telling us not to love this world or the things he offers us. And yet he said that we are to remain in the world, but we are not of the world. What is the true meaning of worldliness?
Worldliness is having pride driven by our worldly achievements and possessions.
Look at that, listen to that. Worldliness is having pride. Please say that again.
Having pride. Driven by. Our achievements and
what?
Worldly possessions.
And possessions. It's not the awful definition, but it's a good one. Yes? Let's have one more. What's the meaning of worldliness? What is the meaning of worldliness? Just one more. Yes? Someone who has not spoken today? Is anybody who has not spoken today? Yes, it's the thing. What is the meaning of worldliness? What does it mean for a Christian to be worldly? Because obviously we're all in this world. If we talk about clothes, we all have to wear clothes. If we talk about achievement, we all need some achievements to move forward. Yeah? If we talk about the things people see, we all, one way or the other, like Pastor Jimmy said, we need to eat food, you need to, you know. So, how can you do these things without being worldly? Yes?
Yeah, I believe you're worldly if there's no difference between you and a non-believer in the things you do, the things you say, the way you dress.
Give an example. Dressing.
Okay.
How can there be a difference between a believer and an unbeliever in their dressing?
Like, you know, exposing parts of your body, maybe as a woman.
Like your face.
No. I'm pulling your legs. Yeah, maybe your breast.
Yeah, but it's not just women. Imagine I came to church with a nice shirt and, you know, this basketball top. You know, you can see all my biceps and triceps. I don't know if I have them, you know. And, you know, am I not exposing, you know, all my leg muscles and, you know. Thank you. You've done well. All right, so let me try to round up the with some few points and then we finish. This is the way it is. You see, when you begin to hold on to anything of this world as your primary sense of value, you are loving the world. It means that the day there's a conflict between that thing and what God wants you to do, you will compromise. Amen. I say this to sister, but it also affects brothers. I know it does. Don't let your sense of beauty be just in how you, you know, adorn yourself. Don't depend on putting on nice clothes in order to feel good. It's a very ungodly thing. Depend on improving your character. So for example, let's assume that I did something wrong or something wrong happened to me. I shouldn't try to make myself feel good by putting on nice clothes or, you know, watching a nice movie. That's the way of the world. People who don't know God will do that. You know what I need to do? I should want to sort it out with God quickly. Let's assume that, you know, I had a fight with my brother. You know, fights do happen. Do you understand? It's the way life is. And we have best of friends. We come a long way. And then, you know, somebody is unhappy. And he will not ever tell you that he's unhappy. He will just keep quiet. He's always happy. If I want to know he's unhappy, I have to ask his wife. The wife will tell me the other version. So, I don't need to then, and then I feel bad. I don't need to go and pad it up. You know, call another person and say, you know, and someone I know that will tell me that you were right, you know, don't mind it. He doesn't even know what he's doing. You were right. And you feel good. That's worldliness. What I need to do is, first of all, go to God and say, this is the situation. This is my contribution to the situation. And this is the contribution. I don't even understand whether I'm right or wrong. And then go to him and say, go to him. You know, the best thing, when you go to someone, the best thing is don't first challenge their wrong. Admit your own. Say, but to me, you know, I notice you're not happy. Every way I've offended, forgive me. Let's start that discussion that way. At the end of the day, I feel good. I've worked on my inner beauty. Hallelujah. Someone told me, asked me a question. I'm rounding up and say, you know, we know, and now let me round up on this note. We know that not every human being is at the same level of prettiness. Some people are more pretty than others. Do you agree? Agnes, do you agree? That some people are more pretty than others. But the good thing about it is that in Christ, we are all pretty because God loves us the same. Hallelujah. God does not love you more than he loves Jesus. God does not love Jesus more than he loves you. He says, my Father has loved me, even so I love you. It's equal. But we're not on the same level of prettiness. We're not also on the same level of age. Yeah? Are you with me? Now, what I want to say, someone then asked me this question. I say, let's assume that, you know, a woman is not pretty. Not pretty. So, maybe, and she's trying to, you know, capture an husband. I'm running up and down here. Yeah? And she knows his disadvantage compared to all the pretty ladies. All the single pretty ladies all around. What's she gonna do? She's gonna use more makeup, maybe. Put on more jewelry. Maybe put on 2 earrings. You know? Make sure that every duty perfume, you know, every duty. Yeah? That's one way to do it. But like Saturn said, that's the world's way. Believe me, and I'm saying this with all humility and without any form of offense, trying to offend anybody, and I'm not also offending my wife. I love her. And that's the only woman I'll marry till eternity. But thank God there's no marriage in heaven. It's not good. So you don't have to depend on each other. You're just going to focus on Jesus. Amen? I would rather do with a bit less pretty woman, but with better behavior, than a more pretty woman with worse behavior. What that person needs to do is sharpen their behavior. It will attract the right man. The man you are trying to attract with more makeup, more jewelry, more fashion, yeah, it's going to be a man that is drawn to those things. And believe me, that's not the type of man you need. The man that you will attract with good works is somebody who will value you. Hallelujah. And even the outward, even if it fades away, the inner beauty can keep increasing. You know the funny thing? Outward beauty fades. Inner beauty, if you are in the right attitude, it grows. Hallelujah. And so let me finish with this scripture. First Peter, look at First Peter 3. Let's finish with that. Just something to keep in your mind and we pray. First Peter 3. I'm not explaining that. I just want to read it so that you just get it. First Peter 3. Look at what it says. Verse 1 and 2. Listen to that. First Peter 1 and 2. We are running up there. Are you there? Are you there? Okay, let's read it together from different versions. Go ahead.
In the same way, you wise must accept the authority of your husbands. Then even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lies will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent life.
Believe me. Believe me. Your behavior speaks much more than the profession of your religion or the fashion you are pursuing. Your behavior can melt a heart. Your behavior, your attitude, and I'm not talking of your reputation. Your reputation is what you project in the public. I'm talking about your character. And it's both male and female. It's both male, because the Bible says, husband, dwell with your wife with what? Understanding. If you are living with a difficult woman, your job is to win her to the love. You will sacrifice, you will suffer. You feel cheated. But you'll be doing it to honor God. And you will melt their heart. Hallelujah. If you are living with a difficult man, your behavior has got to match your religion. Hallelujah. And that is inner beauty. So someone who is disadvantaged in their prettiness, they need to sharpen their character. They will attract the right person. Hallelujah. They will attract. Maybe that sister came to church. She's the first person there. Sweeping the floor. Nobody there. Cleaning. Somebody will come on there and see it and say, ah! This is the type of wife I want. Hallelujah. Even without makeup. Glory to God. Let us pray. Let us pray. God has been speaking to us today. Look at that list again on the screen. And just do a self-assessment of your life. Look at the list. And ask yourself a question. Say, my behavior in private. Forget about the public one. My behavior in private. When there are few people, when no one is really watching. Yeah, just me and my family, or me and my workmates, or where I'm in that restaurant, or in wherever. Where do I align? Am I aligning to the left or to the right? Do a self-check. Be humble before God. And where you have drifted, repent. And say, I've drifted. Repentance means to admit your fault. And say, Father, I have drifted here. I don't want to hide it under the carpet. I don't want to hide it under the carpet. He sees it already. Repent of it and say, Father, I rededicate myself. And I receive grace to sharpen my inner beauty, humility, yieldedness, obedience, generosity, diligence, character, gentleness. Go ahead and pray and talk to Father.